on.
Yep.
Marty, do you want to, take a break or keep going?
No, just go ahead. I just got to go to the left.
All right. Okay, so this table we looked at last time, this is the table from the 08 plan that everyone agreed was a little confusing. So the direction from the commission was to take a stab at reworking this table to match zoning districts with future land use categories. So I think this was circulated in your packets. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to see on the screen here, but everyone hopefully has a copy in front of you. Does everyone have a chance to look at this? Firstly. Okay, I guess one question I think from Janelle was about including C1.
See, including our closed zones, because mm-hmm. technically...
In AR2, right, was closed.
In AR2. Mm-hmm.
I don't think you need to include AR2, though. There's not any land, I think, that's AR2. Maybe one parcel or something.
There's actually a number of parcels. I was rather surprised. But what we could do is, in parentheses, say it's a closed zone.
To me, for the sake of the chart, nobody's applying for it. I mean, you could put a footnote that there's some existing AR1, but I do think you need to include the C1 in this, just because there's so much of it. I mean,
Or just a footnote that, this does not include closed zones.
Yeah,
example C1 and AR1 because,
for C1. My whole thing is just to keep it as clutter-free as possible. We start adding AR2, that makes it look like, when you look at it, like it seems like there's hardly any distinction, and maybe there shouldn't be, between the town center developing area and environmentally sensitive developing area. So the more we add, the more it just gets cluttered up.
Because the only difference between the AR1 and the AR2 is the lot size.
Yeah.
And now it's a closed zone, so.
So what are the thoughts on this? Footnoted or
just footnote both of them? Close zones, yeah.
Both of those?
Yeah.
Would we need to footnote and say which they would fit into if they were to
No, because
be
you
used?
Wouldn't be applying, nobody would, you wouldn't need to use this map for them because they already exist. They're not going to change. You know what?
But I think it comes down to our land use classification. So when we're looking at all of the C1s and the AR1s, we need to make sure they're in an appropriate land use classification.
Well, I mean, I guess you could say that in the footnote, AR1, AR2 is a closed zone, it should be treated the same as AR1. C1's in a closed zone, it should be treated the same as CR1. Just do it like that. And really the same thing with UB.
There is nothing zoned to UB.
You could just take that off. I don't even know if you need a footnote on that.
No, because depending on how the commercial zoning districts go, and we also need to leave this open for, this one is actually most likely the biggest change, because if...
What was AR2 anyway?
Larger lot size?
It's actually a smaller lot size. It's 15,000 instead of 20.
Yeah. Nobody's ever done it. I mean, I guess they just originally zoned stuff that way.
Yeah, I think they originally did zone some, there's a couple of subdivisions zoned AR2. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're putting a footnote that says AR2 is a closed zone, should be treated the same as AR1. C1 is a closed zone, should be treated the same as CR1. And nothing about UB?
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's nothing zoned UB.
And UB was only for
In town.
Yeah, municipalities that didn't have their own zone.
So nothing about UB. All right.
UB.
Any other comments from the group on this table?
I think it's better organized than the other one.
Okay.
It's more usable.
Keep going? Or does we need Marty to just...
So like looking at it, like for example, highway commercial, you have general commercial C1 that would come out because it would be footnoted. But I don't see it in the other ones.
Yeah, it's only in highway commercial.
We also need to make sure that whatever we do doesn't, since we have 18 months for them to match, we need to make sure if something's got a land use classification that is not currently that
zoned,
it gets reflected in the zoning classification. Mm-hmm. In case something does have like an industrial land use but it's zoned AR1 and the property owner wants to leave it at AR1, we just need to figure that out. Otherwise, we could have...
You have to update the zoning to... So if something, if we change something to industrial future land use, you're saying, and if it's AR1 underneath, you would need to rezone it, or...
Typically, it's always been zoning and land use need to match within 18 right. months of adoption. So that's something we have to look at.
So Marty, we're talking about this table here. And,
I like it.
We just had, we had a question about it. So there's two closed zones, AR2 and CR1. And the group decided that we should just footnote the table and say that, you know, both of those are closed zones and AR2 should be treated the same as AR1 and C1 should be treated the same as CR1.
I agree.
So we're just footnoting that. We're taking C1 off of the highway commercial.
But in the growth areas, for example, where there's mixed residential area and, say, a developing area, are they going to be one in the same overlap? How do they, are they going to be separate on the land use map?
So it just means that underneath the developing area or the town center, there can be that zoning, and they're consistent then. So it can fall under those. But if that's underneath, let's see, where would it not? Where would
but
it
I mean, the left? Industrial areas will be mapped, right? No?
The
planned industrial areas.
All of these land use classifications are currently mapped.
Are currently mapped.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, going back to what you were saying, though, about the map and the zoning having to match and so
conflicts,
on.
Conflicts, yeah.
Where is our opportunity to suggest that a certain area would be appropriate for a certain zoning classification, even if it isn't classified that way now? Do we have that opportunity and the ability to do that? Because if it requires the land to be rezoned, I would not want to see that happen against the will of the landowner. I mean, if
and
you know.
That's what we were saying. Maybe the thing to do is to put in each one of these AR1, so that that will always be permitted. Because I think the point being, like the planned industrial area. If we want to plan for that and draw blobs where we want industrial to go and the property zoned AR1 within 18 months, we'd have to mm-hmm. unilaterally rezone it to one of these, which we don't want to do.
Yeah, I had a note in that to add AR.
I
we're
going to
do
that
too.
So we want AR1 in every future land use growth category.
Yes, because it's the predominant zone,
so
and then it helps. So it gives us more time to actually rezone if a property so chooses to rezone.
So right now it's missing from town center, highway commercial, and planned industrial.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, because immediately, if 18 months in one day, if something's zoned AR1 in town center, you know,
mm-hmm.
we'd be theoretically in a jam.
You have to up some.
But that also might be worthwhile just to explain that in another footnote to be verbose. You know, that it's almost, you know, we're not saying that it's appropriate or inappropriate. We're just saying that the base zoning shouldn't be affected by the future land use map.
Where do the AB overlays come in here? That's in ordinance?
But that's going to show up on the map, so we're going to say that agricultural business is appropriate in these areas. Yeah.
In RPC, we didn't include in the table either.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Right.
Because it's an overlay. Like, it's all our overlays don't show up in, because it's not an actual zoning classification, it's an overlay. So, like our quarter highway overlay, the RPCs, and I know there's another one, they don't show up in the table because you don't actually specifically rezone to it. It's, you know, it kind of backfills itself.
Other comments on the table?
I like this better than the other table we have.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, let's move on. All right, so in looking at the development trends, we've talked about this before. So in the unincorporated areas in this time frame, there's been over 10,000 building permits, which has equated to over 12,000 residential units and over almost 2.5 million non-residential square feet.
Is that what Siegel said or Ratledge?
That's from
I'm
the
just kidding.
Oh, data.
That's
from the actual
county data.
That's
from
no.
Did
you see her face? She's like,
I thought we were not going to mention the word Siegel or Ratledge.
It's been a long day. Sorry, I couldn't
resist.
That was easy, Vince.
When you get paid by the hour, this is what happens.
This is what really happened, yeah.
That look was great.
Sorry, too easy.
He has a truck in case he, you know, don't feel like hit my car by accident.
All right, in the towns, they've seen over 3,500 building permits, which is equated to over 4,000 residential units and about 3 million non-residential square feet. So in the county as a whole, about 25% of all building permits, 25% of residential units, and 55% of non-residential development is occurring in the towns. Just something to think about.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
And that's over, so that's over
that's
7 years.
Yeah.
And there are what, 25 towns in Sussex?
Yeah.
Well, and that's also through annexation, so it's, you know, the towns are getting bigger, and so there's more room for building permits, but still. Huh.
Okay.
I guess that's probably about right, though, when you think about it. 70, that means 75% of the county, so.
Okay, and we've looked at this before. This is showing the trends with those building permits, and this is just the unincorporated areas, okay? You did ask me to look at that spike, and I do have the answer to that, but I'm just warning you, it may not be something everyone wants to hear, but I'll tell you anyway if you want to hear what it
sure,
is.
Sure.
Everybody want to hear it? It's chicken houses, and I can show you.
All right.
Where?
So that's non-residential, that's true.
It was some chicken houses that popped up that year.
But that's part of the square foot.
That's money.
Yes.
What are we measuring?
How would that be a
that's money.
Because it's building permits and it's non-residential.
I know, but I don't know why Alexis would have such angst about telling us that.
Okay. I mean, yeah,
well, I know chicken houses are a hot topic.
But
we're in Sussex County.
Yeah.
Do you have data on how many chicken houses have come off the tax roll?
Say what?
How many have been
abandoned or
torn down, whatever, not used?
We don't actually track
that's
all of that track. Information because it
just
goes through the
new development.
I asked DPI that question, and they didn't have a real good.
They don't have it in the county, but they do have it in an aggregate on Delmarva, and right now it's just holding its own.
Yeah.
They're losing as much capacity as they're building. It's about staying stable.
So
on average.
So in that sector, we are replacing our aging infrastructure, so to speak, in the poultry industry.
And we're maintaining.
We at least we are replacing that piece of it.
But that's you know, I don't know, but it's according about your approach. But my dad always said you're either growing or you're shrinking. You're never standing still. So as an industry perspective, if we're maintaining on say on Delmarva and say we're reflective of that trend, but other areas of the country are growing, then we're losing ground to the industry. We're actually losing ground. That's the concern about the processing end of it as well.
Right.
You know, if there's more processing going up, which we know there is, but we're not replacing, modernizing our processing or growing it, then we're losing ground to the industry. And so that should be not an alarming thing, but it should be noteworthy. Yeah. It's hard to track in the county, though. I don't know that county tracks. You know, when we call up and say, hey, we're taking this building out like we've done. Now, not everybody does that either. I mean, there's a problem in my view of, you know, people abandoning buildings, you know, that were being used and they just fall in decay. On our farm, we don't do that. We clean up the site.
Marty, when did they start the wellhead thing in Denrec that made it so that you had to start like getting $10,000 and $100,000 designs for your chicken houses? Was that like 2013? That's what I'm wondering about this. I'm just curious about the spike. If that happened, if like everybody's like, we got
to
get it in today because next week it's going on.
I mean, it's just gotten. I just did one and you know, it's quite expensive. But no, there's been a stormwater process for 12 or something like that.
That's why I'm saying we had a spike in 2012 because I was thinking it was 2013.
No, I think that more coincides with the boiler companies came out with an incentive program to build houses because they weren't maintaining. Houses were coming out of production and they needed to provide an incentive to replace that housing. And so they came up with incentive programs for people to build new houses.
And that and favorable banking lending too, I think, sort of at that time.
The lower interest rates. But really, all the companies still have those incentive programs, but some of them are not picking up new contracts as they're waiting for the new houses to get built. There was a backlog of construction.
It's interesting, that answers that question, yeah.
It answers that question, where that spike came from.
The difference, though, as pertains to, I mean, we talked about large operations, and the industry ever since I've been a kid in diapers has been consolidating, and, you know, so now a typical farm will have, oh, at a minimum, 150,000 chickens, upwards of 300,000 or 400,000 chickens, where it used to be if you had 100,000 chickens, it was a lot of chickens. So the industry continues to consolidate in agriculture, and it's economies of scale. And we'll either accommodate those economies of scale or we'll lose the industry because it has to compete with economies of scale.
So if that's in each year, let's say 2015 is 300,000 square feet of non-residential that was built? Is that how that's read? Or 400,000?
400,000.
And how many square feet is a single chicken house? It's like 60, isn't it?
Oh no, it's 60 by 600.
They've actually gotten
quick
60 by
a lot 600. Larger.
That's what they built.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
So four of them, here in that year, the spike, four of them were 160,000, more or less, for four. Here's three at 63,000.
Yeah, 36,000 would be the minimum square feet. And the newest ones are running at 67 times. Up to almost 50,000.
Right. So what I'm saying is go back to that chart of non-residential.
Back to the chart.
That tells me there's not a whole lot of commercial that's being built. It's, you know.
A lot of chicken houses.
A
lot of big chicken houses.
Right. If it's 40 or 50,000 and it's 400,000.
That's only 8 or 10.
Yeah. And that really makes a real small margin on the support non-residential that the people need, you know? It's just that, wow.
Well, we can look up 2015 right now if you want to see that. Mm-hmm. I looked at that year just because it was an odd year. Yeah. But
the neat thing about the new chicken houses is that as the old facilities get retired, and they were not built with stormwater management or with nutrient management in mind, new facilities are built with the latest specifications. So actually, the environmental impact is a lot less with the new facilities because they're being built with that in mind.
Well, but I look at it a different way. It doesn't have anything to do with chicken houses. I look at it as that if you just look at that chart, we're building 400,000 square feet, to my mind, of commercial every year. You know, and if we're talking about growth and population growth, that's really misleading because that tells me that the support services for people are not keeping up at all. And we, you know, you could look at that and say, well, we've got enough, you know, area for
really,
commercial
right,
growth.
You really,
really
need to pull
don't.
Those chicken houses out of that number.
Yeah,
now.
Because that's not a...
Yeah.
Nobody's going to a chicken house to pick up a loaf of bread.
Right.
That should go into ag production.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Not that that's a bad chart, but it just seems like it, you know...
Yeah.
If we hadn't asked that question about the spike, we would assume that that's all, you know, Kmart's and manufacturing and
but
whatever.
Those numbers don't include what's taking place in the towns, though.
Yeah.
Okay, no, right, that was unincorporated, and that was an odd year. So here's 2015. Total of 387,000 square feet, and no chicken houses, it looks like. I mean, okay. The data's not always great, but there's some holes here. We can see commercial buildings. Welcome Center.
Those are municipalities.
Garages. No, this is the unincorporated. I can show you the municipalities too if you want to look at those. But this is the unincorporated areas. Greenhouse.
A number of those are actually in developments. The clubhouses and the bathhouses. That's amenities within subdivisions.
Yeah, well, bandstands and all this stuff. I'm like, really?
Now, I'm pretty sure that's American Lakeside.
Conditional use or just?
Those are just building permits.
These are permits, yeah.
So they're CUs plus.
Yeah. They're building a lot at Bayside right now too.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on around there.
Yeah, we did a couple approvals, site plan approvals.
So that's 2015. Do you want to see what happened in the towns in 2015? Not a lot, really.
That's it.
A firehouse, restaurant, retail.
Small firehouse.
There's something really big in retail that year.
But we're hearing, we had testimony earlier.
Milford, something.
Some months
big.
Ago. That
commercial. Hospital?
Hospital.
Yeah.
That's the hospital.
Yeah, I was like, what's
that? Big.
That was, how much did somebody say that hospital was?
600 some square feet.
Right there.
600
square feet.
Because that would be their building.
How many dollars? Do we know?
I don't know.
That's a lot.
A few million.
I thought it was 300 million.
$300 million.
Yeah, it's a lot. I just did it in the comp plan report. I don't remember off the top of my head.
But we were hearing earlier, Alexis, that there was a shortage of commercial land available, especially east of 113. Can we verify that, or is there any way to verify?
So I looked at the industrial, which I can show. I didn't look at the commercial yet.
Well, let's do the industrial.
Okay, let's talk the industrial. I mean, because... So at the last...
Industrial.
It kind of does its own thing, doesn't it?
Okay, so at the last workshop, this group... This group asked me to take a look at the land that's zoned LI1, LI2, or HI1, and look at the aerial photography to see how much is of that actual zoned land is vacant. So there's 3,888 acres of land in the county that's zoned of those three categories. So I took a look, and 343 acres are vacant. So that's about 9% of the total. And it's across 11 sites. So it's these little blue areas. And I think we have it up on the online map if we want to take a look.
And those are in the county or in town, all in county?
These are all in the county, yes.
Because we don't have zoning for the towns, so it's just county zoning.
And those all have sewer, water, natural gas? Do you know what?
I didn't do that. Yeah. I just looked to see if they were vacant. So if there was a building, you know, on the site that looked like it was.
And is that, I mean, is 9%, Bob, what do you think? Is that enough inventory for that?
Well, I think.
We have enough inventory industrial? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, it's 9% unused out of.
It's 340 whatever acres.
Well, the big no on that.
Yeah.
And the other thing we'd have to look at is what, as you just mentioned, what are the services available? What's the quality of it? Mm-hmm. You know, I suspect that some of it may have the zoning, but that's all it has. Doesn't have anything else.
Yeah, why isn't the internet coming up?
It's like the Route 9 Industrial Center.
Clicking it.
This looks like it's a glorified storage.
Are you using Chrome or
Explorer?
Clicking the Internet Explorer.
Mm-hmm. Try Chrome.
You mean by the airport?
Oh,
it's right here. Down the road.
Doesn't like not at the airport.
Doesn't
the
like Internet Explorer.
So I don't even know if that piece is industrial or not, but it says Route 9 Industrial Center on it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the underlying zoning is there, because there's all kinds of stuff there.
We can take a look if they were able to get it up. Let me see. I gave it to the GIS department, and they were trying to rush in to get it up here. Let me see if we have it. Okay, here we go. All right, so these are the properties that are vacant, industrial zoned. And I can, what did you want to see underneath it? We can look at it right now.
Make it a little bigger.
Well, which ones did you want to zoom in on? So they're kind of all over the place. There's Georgetown, there's two over here. There's
we don't need to look at the
couple
airport.
Near Seaford and Blaine.
That's just some near Bridgeville. Airport.
Look at Seaford.
Want to zoom in on Seaford?
No, that's DuPont.
Yeah, is that the DuPont site?
Yeah.
It is,
Sure enough.
So there's a couple over here.
Listen, I wouldn't call that vacant.
This is currently what's zoned industrial.
Do you have something
to show? I'm sorry. This is zoned industrial, but vacant.
Vacant. The DuPont sites, they're only using like, what, a third of it?
No, because...
Or not even?
Throwing a lot of it down.
I mean, it was, they had like 10,000 people working there or something. Now they got like... 150?
But that's true, but it's still developed and still being used. So it's still being used to some respect. It's not land that's available for a new enterprise.
Right. Well, yeah. Okay. I'll give because it's all part of what.
I'm gonna guess they mapped site is the zoning and not vacant is what that is. They mapped the zoning.
Do you think they mapped the wrong thing?
Yeah.
But this one's vacant.
Right, but not all of it.
A lot of chemical issues, doesn't it? Yeah. There's a lot of stuff buried out there, isn't it?
Yeah. Don't go into that.
That's clearly zoned. I think they just mapped the industrial zones.
Yeah.
And not the vacant item parcels.
Okay. Let me find the zoning. Here it is.
Yeah, quick, get another DuPont. That'd be great.
Well, I guess some language should be used. Alexis, to reference this information, and that would provide a basis for us considering at least some of the permitted uses in the different LI-12, HI within the AB overlays? I'm looking at you. I mean, you know, just some language that says, here's our inventory of LI-12 and HI, and that some consideration might be given to certain uses within those to be permitted in the AB overlay zone. To be honest with you, those types of things should be away from the city anyway.
I think it's also, you know, do we need to designate more land use industrial?
Yes, well, 343 acres.
Within the AB, you know, we'll have a list of permitted uses, whatever they are. So while they wouldn't be necessarily LI 1 or 2, if we said, I don't know, a plate manufacturing facility could also be permitted in AB, so then it doesn't matter. It's the permitted use that's important. There might be something.
I think, yes, we need more industrial. Yeah, we just need it. So we need places already in place.
So we need to designate industrial land for land use classifications that could be rezoned while also having the AB overlay opportunity as well. Mm-hmm. I think if you want to look at holistically both, because there might be some who, like, we really want an actual industrial zone, and there might be uses that actually clearly fall into those categories. While others, you know, it's like, oh, we actually want to be that into that overlay or that other district. So I think you know, there's definitely opportunities to look at both.
The devil's in the details, though. So yeah. if we're gonna put on the future land use map for you all and for council that a blob somewhere is gonna be, you know, what do we call it? Planned? I don't know what it was called.
Planned industrial.
You may really upset some property owners. You know, they might say, well, you know, I don't want to be industrial, and the answer is, well, that's fine. You don't have to be, but I don't want to be next to industrial either. You know, and so.
That's what I'm wondering is is there a way we can do it that it would be, this would be a preferred area for industrial if it's got a railroad track, if it has sewer and water, if it has, you know, that we just
that's
say this, then when they come to us and say, we want industrial, we can go, okay, well, you're 500 yards from any other residents, you've got, you're next to a railroad track, you've got this. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. You're fine. We will.
But that doesn't always work.
Well, not that always works, but you got to start somewhere.
Well, because, I mean, we've had applications for major shopping centers or whatever that had certain requirements that had to meet, arterial roads, whatever, and they met those requirements, were still denied. You know, the only way to assure that a person would be is to have a permitted use in a zone site. I give certainty to everybody. But adding to them is difficult if you just take all the HI permitted uses and say this is permitted within, they're permitted. You can't tell them no. If you do that selectively within the AB overlay, then you can eliminate the more egregious industrial uses to infill in sites like the one we're looking at right there.
Of course, I think in another section we've also said that we think the county needs to buy more property to make it industrial, that the county should be
more proactive
in making industrial sites available. Again, Mazda is going to build a plant in the United States.
and they haven't
decided where.
And I think maybe that's where we look at.
But, you know, things like that come available. That's why, you know, Uzunuts is in Dover, and that's why Calpine's in Dover, because they had the site ready, and they said, yep, come on in.
The land use is correct. The zoning was correct, you know. And I think that's what we can do is, like, okay, we've got some industrial areas. Should we continue to expand around those industrial areas, or is there somewhere else that industrial would make more sense? And, again, if we leave the underlying zoning, AR1, as a permitted use in a permitted zone, then if somebody wants to use it as agriculture, it doesn't impact that. But if they ever want to rezone to something else, that land use and that zoning classification need to match.
And I think that speaks to this issue of predictability. We have to, when we say this to people, not only are you telling the industrial user, here is a place for you, you're telling everybody else, industrial may go here.
Right.
So you need to take that into account in your thinking. If you never, ever wish to be next to an industrial site, this is probably not the place for you, you know, because this is where, you know, we're encouraging that kind of activity to take place, whether it has or not, it's still in the plan that way. So I think it's important to have that AR designation in there, even though it's not changed but those who are thinking of going that way need to know what the possibilities are.
And I think maybe this could be, when we go back out for our third round of public meetings, is making sure this is a big component going, okay, there might be some big changes between the 08 land use plan and the 2018 land use plan, and we need public feedback, because if they're going, no, we don't really want that in that area, it's like, maybe do we need then to take another look at it?
But I would, at this point, I haven't really put, hours of going over maps to think about it, but I mean, we should be expanding where industrial places are already.
Right, because if you look at the zoning map, it's the blue that's industrial, and pretty much, as Alexis has indicated, is that most of that, is already built upon. There's only 9% of that is available, and it may have other issues tied to it that don't make it feasible.
Look at the things that industrial folks need. It's going to be a lot easier to extend what's already there. So if we simply look at this from the idea that we want to expand the zones that are there now, that would seem to make a lot of sense, because it hopefully would be easier to extend water, sewer, gas, whatever it is they need, if the folks who are there now already have it.
Right.
Probably which ones have natural gas.
Well, that's a really good question.
And then if you look at the current 2008 land use map, there's maybe four areas identified as planned industrial areas, and those really reflect current zoning that is already industrial.
Right.
So do we need to expand that? Do we need to, look at our zoning map? Because we really actually do need to make, the zoning map and the land use match, because I know there's probably one or two out there that may not reflect the land use that we might want to fix as we go forward. But, based on this, on our current zoning map, are there areas that, okay, we should definitely, it's zoned that way, maybe we definitely need to cover that purple in the land use for planned industrial areas, and then should we expand in and around that area?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
But we need to also double check to make sure that, like, natural gas and those things are there.
Well, why limit yourself to just where they are there? I mean, if it seems like we should be looking to the future, and if the map shows us where we want them, then that'll drive those utilities to hopefully get
there.
Yeah, that's
true. But I mean, if you want to expand, there's not much purpose in expanding an industrial area if the utilities aren't there or we're not planning to run them there.
And I would just guess that if there's something currently zoned industrial, there is some type of facility there. Probably the majority of them.
Yeah,
there are probably a few smaller ones, probably not, but I would think for anything large, that infrastructure is already there.
Well, one of the things we have to be careful of too is that I'm looking around Millsboro and so on. I'm not sure how much expanding of those existing sites you can do and not get crossways with the coastal zone folks.
Right, yes.
So we may have to look at something different for Millsboro. And
that might be a case where we recognize it is what it is. We maintain that land use as it is. And, okay, no expansion makes sense over here, but somewhere else it might.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, like, nobody send me emails. I'm just throwing this out here. But, like yesterday I drove out to Greenwood along 16. And, there's a railroad track. There's not much else there in certain areas. I mean, that to me, as I was driving by, I'm like, if you look at the area between Milton and Ellendale. There's protected land and open land and a railroad track. And I'm like, okay, I know they've got sewer in Ellendale. I don't know what else is out there. But I mean, that would look to me like that would be a place where industrial could go. Or between Seaford and Laurel, there along 13. Again, we have a railroad track, we have a major highway, we have sure sewer and water's out there.
Yeah, because you see that little spot near Delmar.
Yeah.
And we've had actually a number of change of zone requests in that area,
right,
for multiple different commercial and industrial zones in that area.
Do we want to draw some blobs on the map to take a look at? You said between Seaford and Laurel was one spot. I'm hearing a lot of different things. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm throwing a lot out there, and I'm not hearing you.
You're still at the top of the funnel.
I am.
Oh, no, that's, well, we all are.
Yeah.
We all are. That's what I'm saying to Alexis. We're still at the top of the funnel. So.
Right. So there's, like I said, there's 343 acres of land that's zoned industrial that is vacant. Is that enough for 2045?
No.
Okay. So now we need to talk about how to add more without upsetting, and how much more, and the concern about it upsetting neighbors.
Right.
There are some areas where, like here, this is Millsboro, there is land in the future land use category from 2008 that's industrial, that's not zoned industrial. So, you know, do we want to expand around some of these areas?
No.
Do we want to add new areas?
Yeah, stay away from Route 24.
Well, and the problem, there's no rail there either. I mean, that's where the poultry plant is, and I guess across the street is where the power plant is.
There's rail there.
If you give me, like,
there's
criteria.
Into the power plant.
Yeah. If you,
but not the poultry plant.
If we can all agree upon criteria, I can run an analysis in GIS to see what pops up. So if the criteria is it has to have a railroad, it has to have sewer, whatever, I can run that and we can see what pops up.
Can you run it where it has to, if we make a list, it has to have, there's six items, four of the six, or will GIS let you do that? Probably not.
Probably, we can figure that out somehow.
Probably not by Monday.
But.
No, I didn't mean that. I'm just saying, because it seems like we're not going to have one that hits all.
Everything.
Whatever the number is, you know.
And if some things are more important than others, too, we can prioritize those.
You can
the
weight
GIS,
them.
Right, the GIS would weight it. And
well, I think the two absolute requirements are sewer and water and natural gas.
Rail,
you know, there's because of our proximity to the Northeast, rail is in some businesses absolutely a requirement. They might be shipping stuff to California, but if they're just shipping to the Northeast, then rail's not necessarily a requirement because the Northeast rail is so congested, it doesn't really function that well for short haul. So, you know, you might want a little bit of both of that.
I'm just taking a look at the.
And natural gas,
because that's from Chesapeake, and I did include that in the element. Let me see what we have. I don't know if it's on the online map yet.
Oh,
you know, it's probably not on the online map because they couldn't give me the shape files, so that's a problem.
With water and sewer, if your criteria is going to be...
They're not allowed to give me the shape files.
Oh.
If the criteria is water and sewer, all the areas you just talked about don't have central water and sewer. So, you know, that's going to put you right either into eastern Sussex County or in
right.
a town, which is not what we're talking about. So that, to me, I mean, you can do on-site sewer and you can do on-site water.
Where's the...
That's going to limit you right out of business if that's
well,
the
that's
criteria.
True.
Contract with Tidewater.
But where is... But the zone, like, 3, where we're going to... We're getting there. We're just not there yet. Is that between 113 and 1, or is that
for the sewer?
All the
for the county tiers.
Yeah. Is that 13 to 1? Because I mean, I think if we're in a zone 3, then that means it could get there.
Yeah, that's a better way to look at it. Not whether it has it now, because that's going to take you right out of business.
And I know Hans always says, you know, we don't build to where we want things to be. But, you know, if we say this is where we're building here, get it out there.
They might not have had enough time to get it out.
I don't think they put the tiers up. This is the old districts.
These are the old districts.
by tier map.
Yeah, they don't have, the tier map isn't online yet.
So we want, but we want, I mean, I think, yeah, near rail, near a major, what are the categories of roads? Doesn't, I mean.
An arterial.
And then it's the.
You have collectors, arterials, and.
There was a one in between. All right, anyway, but, so I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be right on 13, but it does, we don't want it on, you know.
A dirt road.
A dirt road, exactly. We don't want it on, we want it on a 9 or a 30 or a, you know, something that's.
More of a major collector, no, a major arterial or a major collector somewhere in that area. Or a principal arterial, which would be the 1, 113 and 13. 9.
We open to totally new areas?
We could get roads there, I would be. But Josh loves it when we talk that way.
Did you want me to comment on that?
It's okay.
Okay, so I'm trying to outline out what the criteria are.
Road classification.
On a major arterial or a major collector are the two categories?
Or an arterial, a principal arterial.
Principal arterial.
Internet.
Yeah, high speed.
But see, again, I go back to, you're limiting yourself. If we're looking out 10 years, you don't look at what's there now.
Right.
You know, you've got to look at where you want this stuff to get to.
Right.
You know?
And what makes sense for that location and for that use?
Here's
a lot of that might end up trying to push it towards the east, where I don't think people really want the industrial to go, and then it runs into the coastal zone, and I don't know exactly what happens with the new Coastal Zone Act. But
you're
going to
have so many conflicts between the residential, you know. And
oh yeah, right.
Right. So yeah. So it might be pushing it.
I want to push this west, not east.
Right.
Yes.
I agree. I think we want it between 113 and 13.
Yeah. And
okay.
Not near, not too close to bodies of water to avoid coastal zone, because you can even get into coastal zone issues in on the Nanticoke River. So you want to.
Is there any way that we, because since you all are the consultants, because if we try to draw the map, we're going to do this forever. You kind of heard the gist of what it is that they're looking at. You know, and as we talk through it, any one of these aren't going to apply now because it's in the future.
Right.
If you could plot some areas you think that would
be good.
I'll
give you an example, a place to look.
A draft.
Around Bridgeville, for instance. Around Bridgeville, there's railroad. There's
right.
There's already some industrial development there with the poultry operation, Newton's, and so on. And an expansion in that area would make some sense. Just as an example.
And the same thing.
Yeah, a little bit further south.
Maybe a second place, I agree with that, Bob. Maybe a second place might be where the landfill is. There's an electric generation
from
methane.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You already have that setting of the landfill. There's not rail there, but everything else is there.
Yeah. And like Vince is saying, you're not going to find everything that you need all in one spot, but if you maybe can find one element or two elements,
yeah,
you know,
get the other side.
That's the landfill, that's a good idea.
Well,
because they've
got
the heavy electrics already there.
Yep.
So. Ski resort.
And it's
ski resort. Sorry.
And it's the right price.
Copy on that.
Right.
It's not, but the thing with rail is most of the businesses that locate in our area don't use that much rail because they're servicing the Northeast corridor. It's just so much easier to run trucks. I ran rail into the Northeast. It's not fun.
That might be different going forward. So Josh Thomas, Delta Plainlands.
Well, with Delmarva Central Railroad, that might change. But I was just going to add a comment, just that I think that's a good idea to have Alexis potentially just make a proposal based on what you're talking about. And I was just going to say that DLDOT can work with Alexis on some of the data points going in, because we can consult the freight plan.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, obviously those are all freight corridors.
Right, that's
and then
true.
we have you know, some priorities and recommendations outlaid in that freight plan. And then we also have critical urban and critical rural freight corridors that we're working on through a freight working group that we participate on. So we could just provide Alexis what she needs in terms of some of the freight infrastructure, and then based on everything you've told her, we can potentially just come back with that
But I just wanted to make sure that you knew that we could help you with that since there was a comment. And yeah, just and just you know on the rail comment. Obviously, we put in there as a strategy to try to take this positive thing that's happening with the Delmarva Central Railroad and make something you know good come out of it. So obviously, that'll be in the mobility element as well. But you know, just think about that going forward. Is that Delmarva Central is really interested in having an active role in targeting and making it a, making a business case for it when they couldn't before. So you know, just think about that when you're trying to designate areas too. Because I think you have every you should be looking at new areas where it's untapped. You know, maybe we could work with the companies and do that. So that's my two cents on it.
Okay, so criteria I'm hearing to take a look, keep it between 113 and 13. Ideally, internet, sewer, water, natural gas, rail, major arterials, major collectors, principal arterials, and then maybe look around some of the existing industrial areas to see, try to keep it near existing industrial.
But I think that should be that last on the list.
Near industrial, near existing industrial.
Just because we have so little and we know that the many of the ones that we already know what's there and what our chances are.
Do you want it on the list at all?
Adjacency to existing industrial?
Because it's just, it like she says, it's such a limiting factor. Maybe you just need to take another, think outside the box, take another whole look at it.
Yeah. That's good, a good point. Yeah, it doesn't have to be next to industrial. Janelle, what are your thoughts?
I don't think it could hurt since it's so limited to what we have is to look at new places and see if there's potential to grow around the existing.
Okay.
So if we do both, it doesn't really hurt.
Okay. There we go.
And there's some sites that are existing that just don't show up as industrial.
Yeah, so there's some that are zoned industrial but don't show up as in the future land use categories industrial.
Right.
So is the...
We will need to address that going forward.
So these need to be automatically turned to purple?
Yes, please.
Okay.
They're already zoned industrial, so it just makes sense.
No, I agree.
Mm-hmm. And then that would widen your adjacency question a little bit.
It will, yeah.
I don't know when you find a place that we have two items. We have lunch and we have Mr. Metmars here, so you have to decide.
Why don't we, I mean, if everyone's okay with continuing without eating and for a little bit, why don't we do the utilities discussion since he's here?
I'm good if everybody else is.
I can come back after lunch. Your call, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I mean, we're all growing people, but what's the consensus? We break for lunch?
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's break for lunch. You might as well have lunch with us.
I had a scone on the
There you go.
We'll break for 25 minutes for lunch.